Hey, let's focus for a moment on North Korea. I mean, North Korea, the country, as opposed to North Korea's nuclear program. At a moment of confrontation, it's worth trying to understand. North Korea has a communist system where the state owns everything and capitalism is blasphemy. Yet Stacey Vanek Smith from our Planet Money podcast learned there are North Korean entrepreneurs.
Jesse grew up in North Korea in a town called Haesan. It's right on the border with China.
When we open the door and go outside, you can basically see China there.
Jesse is in South Korea now. We spoke to her over Skype through a translator, and she goes by Jesse to protect the family she still has in North Korea. Jesse was just a girl when the terrible famine happened in the mid-90s. Hundreds of thousands of North Koreans starved to death. And people started scrapping together anything they could and coming together and trading in markets to survive. When Jesse was 8, she started picking wild raspberries and selling them at the market. And she still remembers the first time she got her own money. She used it to buy something special for her mom, a peach.
And I saw her eating the peach. She looked really happy, and it made me really happy. That's when I realized that I wanted to make a lot of money to make her happy.
By the time Jesse was in her teens, she was trading goods across the border with China, smuggling out animal skins and pine nuts, and bringing in sausages and soap.
The business was prospering on a whole new level.
A whole class of entrepreneurs like Jesse was born out of North Korea's famine, and the government let it happen. Nicholas Eberstadt is a political economist with the American Enterprise Institute.
From the North Korean leadership standpoint, it was a devil's deal that had to be struck to prevent the total breakdown of the state.
People like Jesse became known as the Donju. The word means lords of money.
I think you might say Donju are like North Korean yuppies.
When Kim Jong-un took power, he had two main goals: expand the missile program and grow the economy. And he started actively encouraging the Donju, even letting them do business with companies in South Korea and China. It worked. The economy grew. Now, North Korea's economy is still tiny. Wyoming's economy is bigger. But the effect of this growth was noticeable, says Paul Tia. He's a Dutch business consultant who has worked in North Korea for years.
You will see much more traffic than in the past. And sometimes you even come across traffic jams. And I see fat North Koreans now.
You see fat North Koreans.
Which was quite rare in the past.
The Donju were getting wealthier. The government was taking a cut of everything the Donju made, and a lot of that money was going straight to the nuclear program, says political economist Nicholas Eberstadt.
You have to assume that the really rapid increase in the tempo of the testing has something to do with getting more funds to do it.
But the Donju's position is tricky. They operate in a legal gray area. The state can seize everything they have at any moment. After all, it technically owns it all anyway. And that, eventually, is what happened to Jesse.
It felt like the sky was falling for me. Everything just evaporated in a snap of a moment.
Jesse decided to leave North Korea. The Donju were always a contradiction in North Korea's socialist regime. But their profits helped fuel it. Now, though, with sanctions tightening, Jesse says, everything is getting harder to get and more expensive. And that little Donju class is struggling more than ever to survive. Stacey Vanek Smith, NPR News.